Chapter 2. Irondelve Plain, south of the Acacian Basin, Agrellon, 742-999-M41. A shimmering black dot scarred the center of the Agrellon sun. It grew by the tiniest of fractions, slowly expanding until it resolved into a smudged figure silhouetted against the blinding orb. Three smaller dots swirled around the figure like electrons orbiting a nucleus. Slowly, steadily, the outline swelled until it eclipsed the sun all but completely. The figure's lines hardened into those of a Tau battlesuit, bulky yet somehow still strangely feminine. The accompanying dots became a trio of discus-like drones, thick antennae canted in a perfect compromise between aerodynamics and sensory acuity. Only thin jet streams in low orbit gave any hint of how this solar angel and her strange attendants had come to Earth. The marks of her orca's passage were two faint scars amongst hundreds of others lining the azure sky. Then, as soon as the figure and her retinue came within half a mile of the planet's surface, they disappeared. Commander Shadow Sun touched down with such measured delicacy that the puff of dust from a Krellan's scorched surface was barely noticeable. Her appointment as the face of the third sphere expansion had been no accident. Tall for a Tau, and with a dancer's perfect posture, on those occasions when she wished to be seen, she cut quite a majestic figure. When entering hostile territory, however, her highly sophisticated XV-22 battlesuit rendered her practically invisible. Technically speaking, she could be seen by the naked eye, Shadow Sun reminded herself, albeit as nothing more than a vague haze. Tiny cells honeycombed not only the surface of her battlesuit, but also her underslung fusion blasters. One side of each sensor cell was a minuscule camera, and the other side a pinpoint hologram array that could replicate that camera's footage with unprecedented accuracy. Once she was back on her flagship after a military engagement, Shadow Sun would transfer the footage from these cameras to a suite of holodrones and walk through a full spectrum projection of her own performance, analyzing, highlighting, and consolidating her maneuvers with the dedication and patience of a master. The master, come to that.
Oh, Kenyon. Please begin your initial data harvest, said Shadow Sun, turning to the largest of her three drones. Take as much time as you require, my friend. As Commander Pure Tide taught us, when utilized correctly, the battlefield itself is a potent weapon.
The drone blipped once in ascent and moved away, sensor spectrums panning. Data was vital in the business of waging war. Shadow Sun was one of the three finest Tau commanders of her generation, due in no small part to the fact she considered every angle and outcome before committing her forces. Diligence was one of a great many things she had learned on Mount Kanji, under the wisdom of Master Pure Tide. She had absorbed every drop of knowledge she could from dawn to dusk. The perfect pupil, he had called her, albeit only after her training was complete. Those three small words were still the best gifts she had ever received. For 4 long years, Master Pure Tide had challenged her with grueling trials. Trials so harsh she could never forget the lessons she learned from them, even had she wanted to. The lessons were hard-won indeed. Her body still bore the scars. Scars she sometimes traced when she was alone, dwelling on what she had learned. Only two other Tau in the entire galaxy could truly understand what she had gone through in the name of the greater good. Strange young Caius, the Monat Supreme, Carder of One and founder of Firios Sept, Caius. And the traitor, Sho. She shuddered, acutely aware of her skin brushing the inside of her suit. No time to think of him now. Commander Shadow-san, blinked her C-Link drone, its data tone prim and formal as it returned to her side. My report is complete and ready for your inspection.
My thanks, drone commandant, O'Kenyon.
She transmitted back in kind, rapid scanning the drone's data compile with one eye whilst her other remained fixed on her battlesuit's sensor suite, just in case. There was something strange about Agrellan's data. A feeling of a glitch, rather than the anomaly itself. She dismissed the notion as illogical.
It appears that the environment itself is hostile, Oaken. Not unusual for an Imperial world, and well within the parameters of the Earthcast to fix once we have taken this world for the Empire. Please remain within shield radius of either O-Nu or O-Hai from now on.
Affirmed. Any additionals, Commander? Transmitted O'Kenyon.
Not at this point, little one. We're content to wait.
Back when she had simply been Shasira, student of the Firecast Academies, Commander Shadow-san had shown great talent in the arts of waging war. She consistently excelled in every simulation and battlescape her mentors could devise. After her training was complete, she had been accorded the signal honor of further study under Commander Puretide himself. At the foot of her master's hover throne, she had learnt every nuance and tenet of the martial style that had lain closest to her natural skill set. Hers was the oldest and most well-established of all the Tao ways of war. It was known formally as Kaoyon, and informally as the Patient Hunter. Kilometers below the peak of Mount Kanji, Shadow-san had sat shrouded in snow at the side of a beast trail for days. Her skin had been as cold as death, and her breathing as shallow as the tiny size of a hibernating mouse. She had remained so still that a large family of Arctic spiders had used her as a frame for their tickling webs. Inert as stone, at one with the mountain, when the one-eared snow lynx had finally wandered past her, she had simply lunged out and broken its neck. Over the decades since her promotion to commander, Shadow-san had honed her natural patience and sense of timing to a lethal point. She had applied it like a scalpel to everything, from the delicacies of diplomacy to the sudden destruction of alien battle fleets. And yet, despite her forces having overcome the Tau Empire's foes for minimal loss on countless occasions, there remained a stubborn few who still questioned her ways. One in particular. The traitor Sho had shunned Kaoyon from the day they had begun their training together, concentrating solely on Mont Ka, the killing blow. Just recently, revered Aung-Shi, the ethereal supreme and speaker of great truths, had told her in person that the traitor believed the philosophy of Kaoyon was only for the weak. She shook her head in disgust and despair, her smooth brow creased. The idea of ignoring patience in favor of aggression was utterly alien to her. Surely, demonstrably as far as she was concerned, Kaoyon was the path that led to the greater good. How else to use the foe's own confidence against him, to do the maximum damage at minimum cost to the Tau race? The master himself had often said,
"To triumph with the least amount of risk must always be the goal."
Unlike her headstrong peers, she had listened well. Shadow-san amped her audio pickups high for a moment, and they relayed the telltale whine of a nearby VX-10 drone net gathering topographical data. Behind it was the high triple purr of a piranha squadron on patrol. High above the T-shaped skimmers, Manta missile destroyers hummed by in stately grace. Each of the giant supercraft was enacting one of Shadow-Sun's overlapping heavy recon loops, scouring Agrellan's surface for signs of the foe. Their airborne comrades would detect the blundering fools of the Imperium before long. The patterns on her suit's distribution array described overlapping geometries that would have pleased even the most precise Earth-caste scientist.
There was something else there, though.
Something on the data cusp. She blink-masked the audio sign she recognized, cutting out all background elements until all she was left with was a subtle susurrus over a baseline of white noise. The anomalous waveform was not regular, like that of a machine, but something with the erratic spike of the biological. In fact, she isolated it and amped it high, it sounded a lot like distant whispers.
"Commander!" boomed her audio bead, jolting her senses. "A stealth team report!"
She spun round, shield drones flying to her flanks. Her sensor suite's black sun filter revealed the ghostly heat signatures of a dozen XV-25 stealth suits. Whilst she had been lost in her reverie, Chasvre Dre and his team had been standing behind her in full salute formation.
"Stealth team, until it suits you," she spat.
Her hot spike of anger simmering to cold disapproval in the space of a few heartbeats.
"This is a suboptimal time to show off, Chasvre Dre. We are within war zone parameters." "I offer contrition, my commander," said Dre,
his body language deferential, even in the swollen bulk of his battlesuit. Even the Firecast standard-issue stealth field generators were advanced enough to baffle the senses. Without state-of-the-art optical sensors, Dre and his teammates would have been little more than heat shimmers against the cracked and lifeless landscape. That was little excuse for one with a multi-spectrum sensor suite, though. Shadow Sun blamed her momentary lapse of concentration on the strange whisper hiss that had distracted her. She still felt on edge even now. It was a well-known fact amongst the Firecast that Dre's mastery of the silent approach more than made up for his habit of announcing his presence as loudly as possible, whether with a formal greeting or a salvo from the truncated burst cannon that formed his battlesuit's right arm.
"Have your assessments reached a satisfactory conclusion, my commander?" asked Dre.
"They have, Dre, and I thank you for your inquiry. No Imperial forces have been pinpointed as yet, though at least three capital-class transport ships have made planetfall to my knowledge. I have assigned forward bait elements."
"And the planet itself, my commander?"
Shadow Sun stepped back and to the side, revealing the C-Link drone behind her.
"Okay."
The drone rose slightly.
"Designation Imperial Hive World. Human population approximate 16.7 billion. Apex conurbation Agrellan Prime," said Oken.
His artificial voice was strangely lyrical, as if he were reciting an abstract poem.
"Surface primarily plains land. Topographical map appended. Atmosphere highly toxic to all carbon-based clades. Anomalous readings high."
"Excellent. I believe that will be sufficient for now, Oken,"
interrupted Shadow Sun.
"We can assimilate the rest from your compile. We do not want the Gwela brutes alerted to our presence by you rattling out every last finding after all."
"Rattling, Commander?"
said Oken, his elevation sinking.
"An artifact of speech," said Shadow Sun,
waving the comment away.
"I meant no aspersion."
The Tau's artificial intelligences were hardwired to behave as much like their makers as possible in all social situations, and O Kenyon was the most advanced of his kind. Regardless of size or duty, every drone strived to emulate its masters and fit in seamlessly with Tau culture. It was a safety measure that covered most eventualities. When a purely objective viewpoint was necessary, personality protocols could be temporarily deactivated at a single blip. Such a course of action had proved problematic in the past. The disastrous Pesh incident was one example. In recent years, the Earthcast had made it standard practice to build the Tau Empire's artificial intelligences with a personality best suited their role. Even so, Shadow Sun often wondered if a machine that could still simulate emotion wasn't just as likely to affect operational efficiency as one without it.
May I append an observation, Commander Shadow Sun?
Said Onu quietly as it hovered in close. The MV-52, much like lesser shield drones, had twin projector aerials that reminded Shadow Sun of the plane hoppers she used to catch on Viola as a child.
By all means, Onu. The background electromagnetic field upon Agrellon is having a detrimental effect on my battery source, Commander. I cannot guarantee optimum performance throughout.
Noted, little helper. But in truth, you say that every time. It is rare that I deploy the Firecast into an idyllic environment.
This time is different, Commander Shadow Sun,
the drone whined. It dipped the front of its rim in a gesture of dutiful obedience.
Rest assured that in the interests of longevity, Ohai and I will utilize the least possible amount of energy in order to ensure your protection. We shall not use one iota more than necessary.
That is indeed reassuring, Onu. Thank you in advance.
Merely doing our duty, Commander Shadow-san,
the drone said obsequiously, dipping its disc-like body once more before withdrawing to slowly orbit its mistress.
May I ask what you make of these anomalous readings, my commander? Said Shazray Dre,
tapping his sensor antenna with the quad-barreled end of his burst cannon.
Of course. I believe they are residuals, echoes of a sort after some cataclysmic event. But that would certainly fit with the geological samples my punch cylinders have taken thus far.
A robust theory, my commander. Up to a point,
said Dre warily.
I realize it is the nature of the cataclysm that concerns you, Shazray Dre. But I would not divert attention to it at this point. We have more pressing data to obtain.
As Shadow Sun finished her sentence, a sheet of red shapes flared across the topographical display above her command suite.
Excellent. The Aircast have located the Imperial vessels.
Approach on my mark. As one, the stealth suits and their drone escorts rose into the air, revolved 8 degrees west, and hovered invisibly towards the Acacian Basin. The hive cities of Agrellon were truly mighty examples of their kind. Giant, slab-sided monstrosities, they reminded Shadow Sun of insect mounds out on the Violan Plain. Each spire-dotted metropolis was teeming with human life, and somewhere within the basin were the occupants of the three Imperial vessels that had escaped the Aircast's lethal attentions. Finding their exact location would not be easy. At O. Kenyon's estimation, the entire population of Shadow Sun's home sept could have fit within the endless levels of the nearest hive, and still had its upper half to spare. According to the latest scans, the sides of each hive were dotted with gun nests, laser banks, gravity mine channels, ferrocrete plates, observation towers, and docking plates. Sculptures of alien saints and living gargoyles loomed and crawled upon its facades, each a hideous reflection of the heroic monuments that stood outside each Tau training academy. Shadow Sun felt a forbidden twinge of excitement at the idea of smashing the human icons to dust. As the commander and her skimmer-borne cadres sped towards the mountain range that girdled the hives, she found herself recalling the day she had personally destroyed the statue of Sho that stood outside his old battle dome. That had been a day long talked about. The traitor's despicable sympathizers had branded her the Iconoclast after that. She rather liked the term. The vast caldera that formed the walls of the basin loomed up ahead, the narrow pass at its southernmost point guarded by a kilometer-high gate fortress. The giant bastion looked every bit as indomitable as the peaks around it, and infinitely more deadly.
A warrior who wears his strength openly is easily countered, she said to herself, imagining her master's stony glare.
She remembered learning that particular lesson well, after her boasts that neither Shol nor Caius had a hope of finding her when she wished to remain unseen. Master Puretide had commanded her to prove it. All those weeks she had thought her bondmates were looking for her. All those painful hours sat stewing in her tree stump, hoping to be discovered. Master Puretide had never sent them out at all. She had eventually slunk back, starving and chastened, having missed out on almost a month of training. The master had turned her greatest strength into punishing weakness with a single off-the-cuff command. It was an object lesson in humility, a quality the Imperium of Man had left behind long ago. She blipped the Kada-level datanet, denoting the looming fortress's icon.
Needless to say, she transmitted, we will not stray within range of that ridiculous thing.
Symbols of affirmation blinked over each team's icons. She eye-flicked alternative lines of approach across the mountains lining the basin, coloured pathways that zigzagged in from a dozen different points on the outside of the mountain range that girdled the basin. The air cast's satellite scans, overlaid with the topography from the drone nets, had given her 100 potential routes of approach, each shielded from hive artillery and remote gun nests. She would need no more than a handful of them to lure the Imperials into her trap. The Kadas fanned out from a dust storm of their own creation, circumnavigating the giant caldera's toxic peaks and joining the routes designated to them without slowing. Over and around the mountains they went, grav skimmers, drones and battle suits, keeping in tight formation as they hovered up gullies, glaciers and crevasses. The skies flared white for a second, right on cue. The explosion left a concentric ring of light expanding high above the basin, as hypnotic to the hive's sensor arrays as it was to mortal eyes. After securing victory in space scant hours before, the Aircast's commanders had been only too pleased to grant Shadow Sun's request for a grand distraction. The Supreme Admiral, Kor-O Limen Kar, had transmitted back in person. The detonation of Invigilus, an Imperial wreck burning in high orbit, would form a perfect coda to their symphony of supremacy. The death throes of the Invigilus had brought Shadow Sun a few seconds of electromagnetic backwash, a space of time in which the Imperial scanners were rendered blind and the Acacian Basin was lit in stark monochrome. In the blinking aftermath of those stolen seconds, every Kada hiding behind the lip of their respective mountains slid smoothly over the crest and boosted neatly into new hiding places.
Phase two is complete, Commander, said Oken,
floating just behind Shadow Sun.
Yes, thank you, Oken. I have already observed that, she replied through a smile. It's phase three that will prove critical. I concur. It must be more satisfying to physically demonstrate the supremacy of the greater good in such a manner, the drone said wistfully. It is pleasing to do so. But it is data I seek at this stage, not violence. Thankfully, the Aircast keep extensive records of the sigils and markings that the Imperium displays upon its battleships. According to my contacts, the first of the three vessels to have made planetfall upon Agrellon contains common Gwela soldiers and their support vehicles. The second, and this is the one I believe we must locate at all costs, contains the Gweron Shah that the humans call Space Marines. I trust you are familiar with their reputation? I have assessed all available data, and the contents of the third vessel,
prompted Oaken.
Unrecognized. And that has me intrigued. The ship has a cavernous cargo hold, though, and its symbol appears to be the riding beast the humans call a horse. The watercast have appended the name Terrin, along with a report that seems to have been made in haste. Cross-correlating. Hard data not found. Commander,
it said ruefully,
past the designation, Terrin, there's very little on the Firecast databases about this warship. Interesting. Perhaps it contains beast-riding warriors, much as the Kroot like to use. Keep searching, Hoken. I'd rather not have any unwelcome surprises when the time comes to enact the takeover. Still, do not fear, little helper. We will force them to commit their strength, and the data will flow.
On Shadow Sun's command suite, the Firecast's icons were sliding down the mountainsides into their designated zones. As the glare of the Aircast's high-orbit diversion gave way to dull moonlight, each Carder's heavy elements began to move into position. Hammerhead and Skyray gunships prowled forward, each flanked by Devilfish transports, a wall of sleek ochre tanks waiting to show their true colours as killing machines. It was then that the Hives awoke from their slumber. The skies were filled with such thunder it made a Violan death storm look tame. Heavy munitions roared downward in a hail of shells that could tear a ferrocrete bunker apart as easily as it could a wooden box. The air above the Acacian Basin was darkened by the firepower roaring out of the Hives, each Imperial metropolis hurling everything it could at the interlopers approaching their position. Yet despite all the fury, despite all the noise, not a single Tau life signal faded to charcoal on Shadow Sun's command suite. The commander smiled thinly as she watched the Imperial Hives vent their mindless, pointless wrath.
Go on, she thought. Waste your ammunition. Waste as much as you like.
The Hive cities that dotted the Imperium grew almost organically over the centuries. New structures and statues were erected, even as old ones sloughed away, complicating the already labyrinthine structures with every dubious new addition. Even comparatively young hives were so large, so moribund in their construction, that they were crippled by their own immense proportions. To Shadow Sun, they were like fat old men that had undergone reconstructive surgery one too many times. During their approach to the Acacian Basin, Shadow Sun had used the Aircast's orbital data to determine the location of each of the Hive's guns and their possible fields of fire. She had correlated them against the data streams transmitted by each Carder's Pathfinder teams, projecting the elevation range of those guns and their estimated reach. Using O'Ken's formidable processing banks, she had then constructed a three-dimensional map of each Hive's blind spots. The charcoal grey of death denoted those areas covered by its guns, and healthy gold lit the zones that the Hive's bulk had occluded from its own sight. Her Carder's symbols had glided into the golden slivers of safety overlaid on the master map she had transmitted. If her calculations were correct, and they invariably were, the warriors inside these zones were fundamentally safe. Convinced of their own idiot brawn, the Hive's gunners threw obscene amounts of ordnance towards the Tau tanks lurking on their perimeters. They achieved nothing more than swathing the valley with shrouds of dust and foul-smelling smoke. It took the best part of an hour before the Imperials realized their mistake. It was time enough for Shadow Sun to prepare detailed battle plans and approach vectors for every team under her command, and to arrange for the basin's lines of reinforcement to be cut off. The cutting of the supply lines connecting each hive was a simple enough matter. The vast bulk of the Imperium's armour took the form of tracked vehicles, So the air caste made neutralization runs in the arid deserts between each hive, staying out of range of the Imperial guns to drop pulse bombs where the ferrocrete superhighways were weakest. Whenever the Imperium's scrambled reinforcements left the ruined roads in favor of the parched wastes, they would throw up clouds of dust that would hang in Agrellan's poisonous air. With such advance warning of their foe's approach, the fire caste's anti-gravity skimmers could roam the planet unimpeded. Once the last of the metallic mountains finally fell silent, Shadow Sun slunk forward invisibly, the stealth elements of each of her carders advancing on her cue. Barely a swirl of smoke marked their passage. They had reached the gold zones next to each hive before the echoes of the Imperial bombardment had stopped resounding from the mountainsides. Then, the heavy elements of the Tau carders took their turn. The distinctive whipcrack of heavy railgun fire rang out across the basin, a quiet, precise sound after the tooth-rattling roar of the hive's guns. The hypervelocity rounds they projected left tunnels of displaced air in their wake. Smoke and dust swirled around them like desert spirits startled from a lamp. The rounds thudded deep into the exterior slabs, at first achieving little more than to introduce a series of artificial fault lines. Yet each hammerhead's target had not been chosen at random. Pathfinder teams debarked from the devilfish transports and painted each impact site with their marker lights. Moments later, massed squadrons of Skyray missile ships sent seekers soaring after the railgun volleys. The guided missiles detonated with pinpoint accuracy, each volley bringing hundreds of tons of ferrocrete tumbling down. To a casual observer, the hives had been grazed, nothing more. To those that could perceive the heat signatures of each hive's walls, every exit, hangar, and missile bay was at least partially buried by a small avalanche of rubble. The gold zones on Shadow Sun's command readout blinked, reconfigured and multiplied. A geometric landscape of possibilities that O Kenyon updated for each encircling Carder to exploit.
Warriors of the Firecast, you may take these ugly monstrosities apart at your leisure, transmitted Shadow Sun. They cannot harm you now.